All right, good morning and welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning, June 28, 2023. Spectacular day here on the East Coast. I hope it is amazing wherever you are at. It is another day. Wednesday, day off. Actually had some plans today. Actually did a paddle practice this morning and then had some time or had some plans to hang out at the beach afterwards, but just didn't work out. So I thought maybe I'll go chat. I'm gonna go sit down and chat. I had a lot of great ideas to do this podcast last night. That tends to happen. I'll be watching TV, laying around, doing nothing, sitting around, and I'll have these ideas. Oh, I should talk about this, or oh, I should talk about that. And then I don't ever remember what it is I was supposed to talk about. So, but whatever, I'll just sit down and see if I can, you know, it's all a journey. It is all a journey. I was thinking last night, you know, I didn't get that way overnight, right? We hear that. We didn't get that way overnight. We don't get better overnight. There is some patience that definitely has to be involved. I'm still, one of the cool things, what is that noise? Freaking demon. There's a demon in the system. One of the cool things was this morning I got up and I had some coffee with my buddy James that I run with, and he's been going through some health struggles, and yeah, it's been an interesting path, and we sat this morning and chatted, and he's doing better. The cancer that he had is gone, right? He had to do chemotherapy, and he has the mass that he had, right, is gone. And so I'm not going to say he beat it, but he's definitely looking better than he was, right? And so him and I sat this morning, and, you know, he's still got some more treatment to do, but he's getting better, and we, you know, hopefully get back to at least going for some walks. You know, I'm like, dude, you got to try paddling, right? But, you know, it was cool. The cool thing that he said to me this morning was, you know, I've just been, you know, because he likes to do the Zoom meetings, right? He's got a schedule, but he had this moment, right? He's like, you know, I just feel like, you know, I really should probably be getting to some more in-person meetings. And, you know, I have sort of had, don't say anything, right? Don't tell him, but I've sort of had this sort of resentment towards my buddy James, my best friend, right? The bestest guy, right? Saved my ass. You know, he was one of those guys that I look back at the person that I was when I came in, and I remember being in shock that a guy like James would even be my friend, right? And that, you know, that feels good for a newcomer. Right, for a guy that had nothing, had zero friends, any really decent relationships, and to become friends with a guy that, you know, and I've shared before, he's done so much, man. He's such a smart guy. He's a teacher. He's a, you know, he's an actor. He's a thespian. He's does Shakespeare. He's a poet. Right. He's just such a great guy. And I remember just thinking, how could this guy be my friend? Right. And but he was. Right. And so there was a few of them that, you know, I'm like, gosh, maybe I'm really starting to be part of something. Right. Because I hadn't really been part of anything ever. Right. Ever. I mean, I was part of something, but nothing I'd, you know, prefer to talk about. Right. I was, you know, I was part of a group that did a lot of drinking and drugging. Right. I was part of a group that did a lot of partying and, you know, not a lot of working. I've been part of those groups, but to be invited into a friendship with a guy that has a career, right, an education, and is sober was just a shock, right? But like I said, you know, we went through this pandemic and we've all had our challenges. So, but one of the things that I've learned is sometimes you just have to keep your mouth shut, right? I just have to keep my mouth shut because it's all our individual journeys, right? In this sense to, you know, we get better and then we want to fix the world, right? We get better and then we all of a sudden become an expert. And I've said before on this podcast, I am no expert. I am not an expert. Please talk to your sponsor, right? Read the big book. Go to tons of meetings. Be educated from hundreds of different other sources other than me. I'm just a guy just like you trying to get through one day at a time. And, you know, even though I've been sober for a while, you know, these weird things start coming up. And this one of them was this sort of this resentment. And I, you know, because I was thinking about it, you know, what's your problem, Tom? And there isn't one, right? There is no problem. If I follow the simple rules that have sort of been given to me, one of them is mind my own business, right? That's a good one. Mind your own business. If I keep my nose pointed in the right direction and not pointed at other people's business, I'll find myself with less problems in my hands. And for some reason, I'm just like taking his inventory, right? And that ain't cool. It ain't cool because this guy has a ton of time and it's his journey and I should not say anything, and I didn't. And what was cool today, though, is sometimes we just start to see people kind of work through it. I've done it, right? I've gone, listen, I go to 3 meetings a week. There was a time I was barely going to 1 meeting a week, right? I had sort of let that lower power, the devil, excuse my French, right? Start the conversation and end the conversation. And it's usually, you know, what's up with James, right? Why? What's up with your buddy, right? How come he's not going to meetings? How come you're going to 3 and he's not? And it just starts to undermine this weird shit. And then I start having these reactions towards the situation that are unnecessary. One, it's none of my business. And two, it's his journey. So I don't know what my problem is, man. It just shows there is no place, I think, at some point where we become completely safe of this fucking disease. In the sun, but she says nothing of what she thinks. She just goes stumbling through her memories, staring out onto Gray Street. But something came. How did I come to this? I dream myself a million times around. Yeah, it all mixes together. That's sort of what happened, man. And, you know, what I've learned several times now is that, you know, I have been, you know, through conversations and, you know, just watching and listening to other people, you know, sort of I have my guard up, right? I do not want to have, like, number one, don't have a bottle of vodka in my hand, right? That's a pretty simple, clear rule. Don't hang out in bars. Don't hold drinks for people. You know, there's all these really simple, clear ones that obviously I would check off because I do not want to drink again, right? Don't hang out in bars. That's the first one. But there's, you know, as time goes by, you know, those ones don't really bother me, right? It's these other things, you know, like this sort of these little resentments like that I got. And the funny thing was is that I'd really become quite sour about the whole relationship. And you know what's funniest about all of it is my buddy did nothing. Right, I sort of created this thing, and I was really kind of living in it, and I wasn't talking about it, I wasn't saying anything about it, because, you know, this lower power likes to separate me from my people, and likes to keep my comments to myself so they can stew. You know, my buddy Matt, one of the greatest things he ever told me, talk about it, right? You got an issue, talk about it. Cuts it in half, you know, and so I wasn't talking about it. I wasn't doing anything. And I really kind of, like, there were times I'm like, you know, I can't be friends with him anymore, right? That's what this disease was telling me. It separates. This disease is very smart, very cunning, very powerful, right? And it looks for the path of least resistance. And the disease looks at me and goes, okay, this guy's not going to go to a bar, right? We did that one. You know, I'll never forget that disease said, hey, man, you look how good you've done. Why don't you try drinking? And I was like, okay, and I did. And the disease was like, shit, that was easy, right? I fell for that one, right? That all started with the resentment on the money basket. Shared that plenty of times. But you know, this has happened to me before, that fight, you know, separating me from meetings. And it's tried a new path, right? All of a sudden, me starting to worry about other people's business, which is none of my business. And then I start to have a little resentment. I become a little judgmental. I become a little above, right? All of a sudden, I'm working a better program than anybody else. And then all of a sudden, the disease says, we can't be friends with that guy, right? And now the disease has separated me from not only one of the greatest friends I've ever had in my entire life, but one of the greatest pieces of sobriety that's been a pillar in my life. And this disease is like, can't be friends. And I'm starting to believe it, right? And so yesterday, my phone rings and it's my buddy James. And I didn't answer it. I didn't answer it. I ignored it, right? The disease, I'm like, don't answer that, right? The disease. Now, listen, I can't blame everything on the disease, but I have to look at it that way. You know, for a guy that's sort of sick, right? You know, to me, it's pretty clear. There is a resentment. It is ego. It is pride. There's all sorts of weird shit, and it was trying to separate me from him. And so I didn't answer the phone call. And so I waited, right? I waited a little bit. I was working as well. And then I said, you know what? Let me call him back. Actually, I checked the message. Awesome message from my dog, right? How you been, man? And the one thing about our relationship is we're both busy, right? Not only is he fighting a health scare right now, but he's a smart guy. You know, he's doing things. He's teaching and he's acting and stuff. And so, but we've always, we've been friends for so long. We've run for 20 years. And we've always said to each other, regardless of how we don't call each other that much or regardless that we don't get together that much, let's always just remember that we are the best of friends and we always sort of pull together with runs, you know, when we go out running. And so we've had this, you know, him and I have gotten into it a few times out on the trail as well, but always, you know, been able to say, hey, man, I apologize for that, or, you know, I'm sorry I had to say that or whatever, but no hard feelings. I love you. And let's move on. And so it was just funny to watch this sort of thing happen yesterday. And so he had left a message and I read it. It was great. And so then I'm like, you know, I call him back. And so I call him back and I'm like, you know, you want to get some coffee, right? Like, you know, I'm broken free from my lower power. My lower power is like, don't call him back. Don't answer. Come here. Stay with me. I'm like, no, no, no. I reach out. I call him. I text. And then once it's on, it's like, the devil's like, forget it. Damn it. You know, we almost had him, right? This disease will separate me from everything and anything that has to do with me getting better, getting sober, and finding serenity. And usually that requires a relationship with a higher power, a God of my understanding. And my disease does not like that, right? My disease is that loud kid. My disease is that loud character at the party, right? My higher power is the quiet guy. And I have to be quiet and I have to focus and I have to listen if I want to have communication with my higher power. He just isn't out babbling. But my lower power is fucking making a ruckus all the time, right? And so always trying to separate me. And I'm learning, right? I told, you know, so we met this morning. It was like we'd never had a time apart. You know, I'm so happy that he's getting better. He's such an important person in my life. And I'm just so happy and that I didn't listen to that lower voice, right? That lower power. And, but man, this disease does not like me to be sober and it doesn't like me to have serenity. It doesn't like me to use these tools, right? And it's just, but that doesn't look like, you know, someone, you know, I'm in the hair business, right? And for a long time, you know, people used to bring me bottles of wine at Christmas. You know, anytime there was a Christmas or a New Year's, people would bring bottles of wine. I think that's what we traditionally do with people in business or, you know, whatever. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I just, these bottles of wine would just sit around the salon and people are like, don't you drink these? And I'm like, no, I don't drink them. They're like, can I have them? It's like, sure, have them. So that, you know, that was never really a temptation. You know, if it's a decision with me looking at a bottle of vodka, do I want this? I don't. Right. So this disease gets smarter, it gets more cunning. And starts to whittle away other parts. They're like freaking, it's like a damn termites, right? It's starting to eat the foundation. Next thing, your whole fucking house collapsed. You're like, what the fuck happened, right? And so, but I'm learning. And I told him today, you know, I go, we've been doing this a long time and I'm learning new things. And I shared, you know, about learning that third step. I'm like, you know, the third step was always vague to me. And when I learned about my will, my thinking, and my actions, or my life as my actions, it opened up a whole new world, right? Because for so long, I had bad thinking. My thinking wasn't towards sobriety or wasn't towards recovery. It was towards self. And when my thinking's towards self, it's bad thinking, right? And so in turn, my actions were bad. I did bad things. Like I shared the other day, everything I've done in my entire life, I had a choice, I think. I mean, for the most part, I think you can understand what I'm saying. And for the guy that I am, the choice that I made usually didn't go along with what everybody would prefer, right? I'd prefer to go party, do all these crazy shit. Most people would prefer I didn't, right? So, you know, but it still just exposes that self-centered side of me. So, I don't know. It's been, and the other thing I was telling him, you know, and then the eighth step. You know, that eighth step was a real, not that I was stuck, not that I was, you know, not that it would have created, you know, I don't know, maybe it would have created an opportunity for me to drink. I don't think so, but it allowed me to, you know, sort of recognize, you know, and then sort of this fucking disease still doing this, right? Like keeping me as a victim. The disease loves to keep me as a victim. And what does that mean? That means that I constantly have somebody to blame for my own problems. And it's a lack of accountability, right? And it's a lack of humility. And, you know, I didn't realize that. And I was a victim to a lot of things. And so when I was telling him this morning, I go, you know, I made this list of all persons we had harmed, right? But it wasn't until I had to take a look at making a list of all the persons that had harmed me that I started to realize I had harmed more people, right? I didn't realize this. Been doing this a long time, right? And still putting those freaking puzzle pieces in. And I love it, right? I love it. I'm starting to see more, right? Understand more, you know? I hope I don't see and understand too much, right? I hope I don't think I figured it out because, you know, next thing you know, I'll be fucking in the damn bottle again. But, you know, for me, I'm a work in progress, right? That's what they like to say. We're a work in progress. And I agree because there are times where I think that I have figured it out, right? And what I'm figuring out is that I never will figure it out. It's never figure out completely, right? It's just every day. New situations, right? Every day. And, you know, I try to think about what my goal in life is today as far as this recovery program goes. And obviously one is not to pick up a drink, but two, obviously just to find some happiness, some peace, right? Be a part of a good thing, positive stuff, right? Be there for the next alcoholic, be there for the next drug addict. And, you know, I went to a meeting a couple of weeks ago and this guy comes up to me and he goes, you know, I can't believe that you ever even was a drinker. Right. And sometimes I can't either. Right. If I look back, you know, I don't know if I said this the other day, but I got into this shit so early. You know, I'm always amazed when people have a family, right. Or people have children, right. I had nothing, right. I got into it so early and got off the rails so early and was really, you know, headed in the wrong direction really early that, you know, I didn't get to achieve really much early on in my life. I barely got through school. Definitely wasn't getting married. Couldn't have really a decent relationship because I hung out with people like me. And so when you're hanging out with people like myself, we're all sort of self-centered. And it's hard to have a relationship that's worth anything when you're sort of in that situation. Couldn't build a career, right? You know, my parents kept me alive. And I can't believe that I somehow dug myself out of that hole. And, you know, when I told that guy, I go, dude, I was bad. I mean, I was really bad. You know, most people I think come in, you know, I've said before, and however you come in is however you come in, but I do believe that it takes a humiliating experience, right? Ego devastation, complete humiliation. That's what it took for me. You know, it didn't matter how drunk I got, right? It didn't matter how much I threw up, right? Or how sick I got or how bad I felt. That was never enough to get me sober, right? But what was enough to get me sober was when I was completely humiliated, right? That moment when I got in that fight that I was able to squeeze through the window to give me a taste of this program because I didn't stay, right? I was here, I got 5 years or so. I got a belly full of AA, but I wasn't quite there, right? And so when I finally got to come back and realize that I get to do this, it was a game changer for me, and just always so grateful. So I guess the point of all this is that, you know, for me, I just have to keep watch on what's going on, right? This disease comes in different ways, different tactics. It's always, you know, figuring out a plan, right? And the latest one was sort of trying to make me unfriend my best friend, right? Unfriend my best friend. And I'll never do that, right? But at the time, it seemed like the thing to do, and it's just very cunning. And yeah, so, you know, I should have talked about it with somebody. I didn't. That's my fault. That's even the disease, right? Don't talk about it. You're justified. You don't need to even discuss this. Between you and me, hell with having friends. You know, and what's him first and who's next, right? What, get rid of my sponsor? What's next? You know, if you're starting to kind of go through this thing where you're finding resentments against some of your closest friends, you know, double look at it. Take a check it twice, right? And see what the motivation is. And because there was no motivation in this. There was no reason, right? There was none. It was just me not minding my own business and then having an opinion and then that fucking growing into a whole giant weed of nonsense. And so, you know, I just have to keep my guard up, right? Keep my Roundup up. No, don't use Roundup. It's bad for you. But, you know, I got to keep them weeds back. And, yeah. All right. Well, let me see if I can read a daily reflection here. And then we'll see. Yeah, I'll let you go. Appreciate you letting me share. Thank you. That was a big deal. It's been bugging me, man. It has been on my mind for a few weeks now. And so grateful that him and I got together this morning and left that lower power in the fucking car. All right. June 28th, the determination of our founders. A year and 6 months later, these three had succeeded with seven more. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 159. If it had not been for the fierce determination of our founders, AA would have quickly faded like so many other so-called good causes. I look at the hundreds of meetings weekly in the city where I live, and I know AA is available 24 hours a day. If I had had to hang on with nothing but hope and a desire not to drink, experiencing rejection wherever I went, I would have sought the easier, softer way and returned to my previous ways of life. Yeah, thank you. Thank you to those guys. I agree. Yeah. I mean, it is a miracle. It is a fucking miracle that all of the computers and all of the data and ChatGPT and all this shit that we have today. And really the reason this program works is because it's obviously the traditions have been put in place to keep our program hopefully safe from ourselves, right? But the ability for one alcoholic to help another, right? And that's what my buddy and I were talking about. I'm like, dude, you have 32 years of time. You are a wealth of knowledge, right? That's our job, right? These guys, our founders, knew that. They discussed it and figured it out, but they knew at some point we get better. And when we get better, we move on, right? And we just can't. We have to stay. It's not even out of the convenience for the other folks. It's really about saving our own ass. And like I told my buddy this morning, I go, meetings, this is my opinion. If it's not your opinion, I apologize. This is how I feel. But a meeting should be an inconvenience, right? We get better. We get a life. We have, we get married or whatever. We have children. We get a job, right? We become normal, right? We become part of the group, and then we forget. And that's exactly when this disease starts to undermine us. And so, like I told him, I go, you should absolutely love what you're doing at home and hate to leave it. But that's what we have to do. We have to leave what we're doing at home and go to a meeting because it's an inconvenience, but it's a reminder, you know? Because what happens if when I had come into the program or my buddy had come into the program and nobody was there? We'd be like this story right here, right? We'd hope, right? We'd wander around hoping we could quit, but the reality is it becomes too hard and then we revert back to doing what we were doing. And but this program and the newcomers coming in and the old timers sticking around is what gives us hope, right? It's what gives us a chance. And it is a miracle, right? It is a miracle. So that's great. I hope everyone has an amazing day. I appreciate you letting me share. I'm just a work in progress, man. I am no expert, but I need you. I need every one of you. Have a great day. Later. And it breaks so hard. You know, she wishes it was different. It's praise to God most every night. Although she knows well it doesn't listen. There's still a hope in her, in my hands. She says, I pray. Oh, but my prayers, they